Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness. And what we're moving into today is a spiritual society. And with that, we have tools that we can use to help us access our connection to the source. And I want to say this program is sponsored by Portal to Ascension, portaltoascension.com. There's an upcoming conference in Irvine, California, October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Where a lot of the leading speakers in the consciousness field will be there. I'll be there hosting it, and you can find out more about that at ascensionconference.com. Today, I'm very excited. We have a person who's really been through the transformation, is now helping people get through their own awakening. I'm talking to Pam Butler. Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Alan.
Of course. And I want to hear your whole story, because I think what you went through could be very helpful to other people going through a similar situation. To people don't even know, not people don't even know they have a problem even, and yet they're not happy. So what happened with you?
My spiritual journey started about 20 years ago when, in childbirth, my daughter and I both almost died during delivery. At the same time that we were both in the hospital, my father was admitted into the hospital in a different state with a relapse of lymphoma. And it was the culmination of the trauma of the delivery, and then 3 weeks after the delivery, my father passing. So it really kind of sent me on a downward spiral, and I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, suffering from depression, anxiety, insomnia. And I sought out help. I went to a number of therapists. They put me on medication. And to feel that fog lift a little bit. But then over time, as I continued to suffer from my symptoms and suffer from panic and anxiety attacks, they would just add more medication. And it got to the point where I started then feeling worse than my original symptoms.
Wait, what, and ended up pretty much having
a breakdown.
Wait, let me just ask you, what do you think caused the trauma? Was it your father dying, or what was it that caused?
It was the perfect storm of the trauma of the delivery of both my daughter and I almost dying, both of us being in intensive care. She was born basically dead, and they had to revive her.
Wow.
So, you know, childbirth in and of itself for a woman can be very difficult, traumatic, and certainly the emotional roller coaster that you go on hormonally and just all the changes in your life. But compounding that with how the delivery went, and my daughter and I being separated, each of us in intensive care, and then, just a short 3 weeks later, my father passing. It was a lot for me to have thrown at me all at once.
It was overwhelming, right? I mean.
Yeah, it was very overwhelming. Physically, emotionally, it was just too much for my body to be able to handle. So that's why I went and sought help from the therapist and was put on the medication. It was just over time they over-medicated me, which led me to a breakdown. I would caution people to really be your own advocate if you feel, you know, that your body isn't responding well to the medication, to, you know, seek alternative therapies, which is what I finally did.
Well, let me ask you, how is your daughter now?
My daughter is doing wonderful. She is a junior in college. She's thriving. She just turned 21. For the most part, there were not too many long-term complications from the delivery.
So she was not so traumatized, but you were, because you were worried about you and your daughter, and then, of course, your father. That's a lot to handle, for sure. But what medication did they put you on?
They put me on medication for depression. They put me on medication for anxiety, and they put me on medication for insomnia.
Wait, what were those medications? Do you mind telling me?
I mean, honestly, that was 20 years ago. Okay. I don't remember the exact brand names. I think they probably have changed a lot anyway, but there were three different types of medication that I was on and prescribed.
So you were doing three medications at once by your doctor, and were you doing any therapy, talk therapy with anyone?
I was also doing some talk therapy too, yes.
But you were taking every day a medication for trauma, depression, and anxiety. And you just felt worse, you're saying.
Over time, as they continued to up the medication, over time, my symptoms were worse, and I got to a point where I really couldn't function. I was almost paralyzed and numb from all of the different medication. I think, you know, just being careful that they don't overprescribe.
What did the medications do anything for you when you took them? Did it help any of your symptoms?
Yeah, it did. In the beginning, it definitely helped kind of lift that fog that you can feel that you're in, that funk. You know, there were days where I had a difficult time even getting out of bed. So it did kind of bridge the gap, and it did lift a little bit. But like I said, particularly when I was experiencing the anxiety or the panic attacks, for people that have had panic attacks, and you know, they know you feel like you're going to have a heart attack, or you feel like you're just going to die. So they kept giving me higher, higher dosages of the medication.
Wow. And that is that. And so a cumulative effect then. You just had a breakdown? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I had a breakdown, and I was hospitalized for a while so that they could try to figure out what the treatment plan was going to be and try to re-regulate the medication that I was on. And it was difficult because I had this young baby to care for, and my husband at the time, he was off traveling for business, so he wasn't around able to help. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of fell on my shoulders. And then that's where I declared that there had to have been another way and a better way to treat me. Right. And that's how I then got into the mind-body practices.
Right. But before we go there, I'm just curious, when you were hospitalized, did they give you more medication or did they take you off the medication?
No, they weaned me back a little bit and tried to adjust the dosage levels and, you know, gradual weaning off of the medication.
Right. Okay. So then how did you discover the mind-body part?
So a friend of mine at the time, and again, this was 20 years ago, but a friend of mine was close personal friends with Deepak Chopra, and the Chopra Center had a facility in La Jolla, California, and he suggested that I go out to the center and meet with Deepak and his team and really find a program that was best suited for me. And that's where I was introduced to yoga and meditation, you know, body therapy work. I had always been very athletic and physically fit and active, but I had never tried any form of meditation or yoga. And those were the two most powerful practices that really had an impact on me.
Meditation and yoga. When you were in the hospital, though, did anyone ever mention any alternatives to you? Like you could do something different? Was there any idea about that?
No. No one had talked about it at that time. And they had not introduced any sort of self-care mindfulness practices. And, you know, mind you, now here we are fast forward 20 years later, and it's become much more talked about and mainstream. But at that time, no, it was not discussed with
me. At that time, the only alternative, or the only, not even alternative, the only thing they saw you could do was just keep taking a combination of drugs. Was that their only solution?
The drugs and the talk therapy.
And that was all they can do. So what was different then when you met Deepak and got in? Well, I mean, it's still sort of a talk therapy thing. What was different about the mind-body approach?
The mind-body approach is different in the sense that, yes, there is some talk therapy involved, but I would say it's really more about getting in touch with yourself and sitting quietly with yourself and getting comfortable with that. When you go through the trauma and you're suffering from depression and anxiety, you feel very restless and unsettled. And the one thing that stands out to me that meditation really helped me with was to feel more settled with myself, with my body, with my symptoms, with my thoughts. At first, it was very difficult for me to sit quiet and sit still, but I was a very eager student and wanted to do what Deepak was prescribing, and over time began to feel the symptoms wade away. And I think the most profound was medically, when you're taking the medication, you're helping yourself with the serotonin imbalance, a chemical imbalance, right? When you're suffering from mental illness, you have an actual chemical imbalance of serotonin and oxytocin, those feel-good hormones. But what happens when you meditate, your brain, the neurotransmitters in your brain, actually begin to release serotonin and oxytocin, all those happy hormones. And over time, because my body was beginning to produce those hormones on itself, I was able to wean myself away from the medication and balance that chemical imbalance just through the power of meditation.
Well, how long did it take to do that?
I would say about 7 or 8 months.
You felt confident that something would change if you kept with the meditation, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I began to feel the effects of it pretty quickly. And then, like I said, over time, you know, being able to, you've heard the term, your body is its own pharmacy. I was, you know, producing all of those hormones on my own, so I didn't need the medication.
And did you have to check with your doctor before you stopped taking the meds? You did.
Absolutely.
And he said,
you have to wean yourself off of it. You can't go cold turkey.
Right. But was that able to relieve the trauma? Were you still able to deal with that?
The trauma I really had to work through more in therapy, you know, kind of releasing those memories and those images of what had happened in the delivery room and, you know, with the loss of my dad. I mean, the meditation did help with that. But I think it was the combination of meditation and the talk therapy to help me with the trauma.
What was the key thing that really helped you release the trauma? Was there one thing?
No, it really wasn't. It was a culmination of all of the things that I started practicing once I was able to get off of the medication. The medication really kind of left me feeling very foggy and unclear. But once I was able to get off of that and sit more comfortably with myself and, you know, release the hold that trauma had on me, that's really how I was able to make peace with all of that.
Wait, so you're saying you never could have gotten through it if you were on the medication? I mean,
I don't think for me I could have. No, the yoga and the meditation were the two biggest components for me.
So people who are, I mean, I'm not saying you should tell people to stop, but it sounds like if people are taking medication for trauma, it's harder for them to get through the trauma. I mean, I would think.
Well, yeah, I don't know, Alan. I can't.
Yeah,
it's
can't
not
say.
A one-size-fits-all kind of cure. I do feel and I do know that people that suffer from PTSD, again, the medication definitely serves its purpose, and I wouldn't by any means suggest people stop taking medicine or don't take medicine, because it does have its place. It's just for me, the way that it was prescribed for me, it just left me feeling worse. And I found more of an impact of healing myself naturally. You know, when you do yoga and you're moving through the asana practice of yoga, when you twist, when you bend, you know, all of that is helping to balance and regulate your system energetically, hormonally, physiologically. You are changing the chemistry in your body by moving through a yoga practice and by sitting quietly in meditation.
So you're working with, because you got through it and, you know, saw the benefit of the mind-body-spirit approach, you are now working with other people to help them, right?
Yeah, so as I began to heal myself and get stronger, I started my certification in both meditation and yoga and transformational coaching. And I've done a number of courses and certifications in all three. And I've also just recently written a book, Return to Life.
Yeah.
Finding your way back to balance and bliss in a stressed out world. So by healing myself, I want to be able to help others heal.
Well, talk about your book first. So in your book, you go through what we just talked about, but what else is in there?
Well, I go through the story, you know, of what happened, because I feel like when we're young, we're taught how to walk and talk, read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life is insurmountable. Mm. And that's ultimately why I wrote the book, because when I was feeling lost and didn't know where to turn, this is the kind of book I wish I had been able to find to help me feel less alone and provide me with the guidance on how to make my life better. The insights and the tools in the book helped me return to my own life. And my hope is that it can do the same for other people. You know, I feel like a lot of people, as I go out and talk about the book and I talk more about my story, I feel that people have that sense of disconnection, you know, that lack of community. I think a lot of that is because the internet and the fact that we're all connected
digitally,
cyberly, but not face-to-face. So, you know, people feel like they've lost their way. And so how do we return to that place of peace and love and bliss? Because when we lose ourselves, we can't figure out who we truly are.
Well, there's there's what? Millions of people on antidepressants. I mean, what's the statistic for people taking antidepressants? I mean,
it's at an all-time high. I mean, the opioid crisis has just gotten out of control.
People
are being prescribed medication right and left.
Oh, but are opioids antidepressants? I guess they are, right?
I think so.
And what about just Prozac, though, and those things? I mean,
yes, it all kind of falls under the same category of people getting addicted to them.
Wow, so you have a lot of work to do out there in the world.
I certainly hope so.
Well, I think so.
I certainly hope so. I try to offer very easy and practical tools for people. The beginning of each chapter of my book starts with a part of my story, but then I circle up and end each chapter with a tool so that by the end of the book, you have what I call your bliss toolbox.
Like what kind of tools do you give people?
Okay, so I think the first and most important tool that I give is stop, drop, and breathe. And literally, when we're young, we go through that fire drill of stop, drop, and roll. But I feel like now people have that drill of being stressed out, going, going, going. And if we could all just take a moment to stop, drop, and take a few breaths, it could make a big difference. You know, our breath is a built-in stress reliever. And we move about our day, and we have been breathing all of our lives, but mostly breathing incorrectly. Mm. And most people don't think about how they're breathing. So when you can just take a few moments and literally stop and drop and check in with, am I breathing at all? Because a lot of times people hold their breath, they don't even realize it.
Right.
Where they're taking short, choppy breaths, which keeps them in fight or flight. But when we can begin to take those more slower, deliberate breaths from deep down in our belly, we can actually change our nervous system. We can tap from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic part of our nervous system. So the breath is the easiest thing to access any moment, any day. And it's free, right, which is great.
Wait, so the right way to breathe is what? Just if I was to...
Through your belly.
So
through your, deep down in your diaphragm. So there's a counting exercise in the book. I call it Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So you're breathing in through the nose to the count of four, holding the breath to the count of four, exhaling slowly through the nose to the count of four, and hold the breath again to the count of four and repeat. So it's in for four, hold for four, exhale for four, hold for four, repeat. So just that intentional breathing in slow and counting, retaining your breath, breathing slow out as you exhale, retaining the breath again, that will help you draw the breath from deeper down in your diaphragm.
Yeah, I was doing that. That's already relaxing. Do you think?
And when we slow the breathing down, we can slow our heart rate down. We can slow the nervous system down. We can slow our minds down. They're all connected.
What do you think that would have done for you when you were going through your trauma? Could you have done that even during your trauma?
Well, that's a great question. And I would hope that I could. I mean, I tell people to start with baby steps, you know, start slowly and set yourself up to win. So as far as the breathing exercise or a meditation practice, you know, start with what you do think you can handle. So if maybe one cycle of that breath, the 4-4-4, if I could do one cycle of that one day and then maybe the next day try two cycles of it and add from there. You know, I try not to overwhelm people to think that they can do or start too much, because if you start with too much or too aggressively, then you might get frustrated and you might quit.
Right.
So starting with a 2 or a 5 minute sitting quietly meditation practice, you know, maybe you'll work your way up to 30 minutes twice a day. But just start small and start gradually and start with things that you know you can handle so that, you know, you feel motivated to continue.
Right. So that's a good way to start. Of course, the best thing is to have people, you be with people in person, because if you're in trauma, it's hard to even sit down and read a book. Deal with that, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Enlisted a family member, enlisted a friend or a neighbor to help you get started and help you be held accountable for it. And, you know, I really encourage people to try to find that sense of community. We are fortunate now where 20 years ago, there weren't many yoga studios or meditation studios around. I was very lucky to be able to go out to California to the Chopra Center. But now, in our own communities, no matter where you live, you can find a yoga class somewhere, even if it's at the local YMCA.
Right.
You know, find somewhere where people are like-minded practicing these kinds of things. And maybe it's a church, you know, maybe someone would feel more connected going to a church and praying and being in some sort of study group there. But there are plenty of different yoga classes. You can even stay at home and look online. We're very blessed with YouTube, with podcasts. You know, we have so many resources at our fingertips that we can access at any time. We don't have to leave our homes. But I think it's important when you are really depressed to find a reason to leave your home once a day. Because if you stay home, you tend to get isolated and you tend to get more depressed.
Right.
So, I think it's important to get outside.
But can people call you or find you directly and make an appointment, or do you do that for people?
I have a website, returntolife.com. And people can contact me through the website. We can set up an appointment. I can talk to people, you know, offer my bliss tools, you know, often offer coaching suggestions and whatnot. Yeah, I do that with people either in person or over Skype or over the phone, whatever's most comfortable.
So you do one-on-one counseling then with people. Is that what you're saying? Right.
Yeah.
As a coach, as a you're not a therapist, you're a coach, a transformational coach, right?
Correct. Yeah, I like to be able to offer people inspiration through my story, and I like to be able to offer people tools that have really helped me immensely on my journey on how to, you know, get yourself from that deep, dark, depressed place to a place where you feel like you're living in balance and bliss.
Well, it's so great that you've put together a book that does give people tools to, you know, take that step in helping themselves. I mean, we definitely need more of this. Can you share one? Can you share another bliss tool? I don't want to give away your whole book, but do you have one more technique?
Two other things that I think are important and that are in the book is having a gratitude practice.
Mm.
So often we get caught up in that negative mind space of the lack of in our lives, what we don't have or what's going wrong in our lives. But when we can incorporate a practice of gratitude where each morning, even before I open my eyes or get out of bed, I think of three things that I'm grateful for. And you can start small with having a roof over your head, having food on your table. And then you can take it, you know, a little bit bigger each day. Maybe it's an interaction with somebody else. Maybe it's, you know, accomplishing a task or a goal at work. But reminding yourself of the many blessings that you do have is a great way to shift out of that lack of negative mentality to a more positive, grateful, abundant mentality. And the more that we can talk about abundance in our own lives, the more abundance will flow towards us. So I think gratitude is a really important tool to add to your toolbox. And I think another one that really strikes me and has helped me so much on my journey is being of service. Mm. Being of service to other people is a great way, again, to get yourself kind of unstuck from dwelling on the negative or how bad you feel. Think about when you put a smile on someone's face, how that makes your heart smile inside.
Yes.
And we really are here on this planet to be of service to one another. So, you know, encouraging people to find what makes their heart happy. Some people like to go work with animals. Some people like to go work with elderly people. Some people like to go to the hospital and hold the little babies in intensive care. Mm. You know, there's always a way that you can give back or be of service to other people. And I just find that's really helped me too on my journey.
Do you think you would ever imagine the person you are now, those many years ago when you were depressed? I mean, what is the difference between those two people? I mean, can they relate to each other in a sense, who you were then and who you are now?
It's a completely different person. Mm-hmm. I could not have imagined when I was experiencing those dark days. I could not imagine now having written a book and wanting to help inspire other people to lift out of that darkness into the light. So it's hard to imagine, but I think that's what makes
it.
It's special for me because I've been there. You know, it's not just something that I've learned from a textbook. I feel like I have a PhD in life with trauma and loss and illness, and that through transforming myself, I hope to be able to help transform others.
Well, I'm sure you are. How long did that process actually take you from that, you know, depressed, traumatized person to, you know, to really coming out of that? What was the journey?
Yeah, the journey, well, it started 20 years ago, and I was on the path for about 4 years, and then found myself, after I'd gotten divorced, found myself going away from the practices that were serving me so well. You know, it's like it's human nature. People go on a diet and then they fall off the diet. They start an exercise program, they fall off the exercise program. I fell off my path and went about 5 or 6 years kind of bouncing around, not really feeling connected. And then 6 years ago, I had another series of traumatic events happen, which kind of sent me back on a downward spiral. Mm. And I asked myself the question, what helped me before? And it were all of these practices that we're talking about just now. And I made the commitment to myself 6 years ago to really dig deep, not only for myself, but to get the certifications and education to be able to help other people. It hasn't been straight line.
Right.
It's been a zigzag up and down roller coaster line, but I feel like that's what life is. I'm not perfect.
But why did you or why do people fall off their path even when you're feeling better? I mean, what does that?
I don't know. Like I said, I think it's just human nature. You know, we tend to forget about what we were doing and why we were doing it. And life gets in the way. And in the beginning of my book, I talk about choosing change. And I think that's the most important thing to think about when you are seeking a new path or journey, is really thinking about why you're choosing that path and what is going to be your motivating factor to keep you on that path. And my motivating factor is, first of all, I don't want to go back on medication.
Right.
And secondly, for my daughter, I want to be a good role model. I want to be a good caretaker. And so those, you know, identifying those things very clearly, setting that intention, will keep me on my path. Whereas before, I didn't still quite have that clarity or that knowledge of knowing why I was doing what I was doing and keeping me on the path. Wow. So I think really identifying what you're doing and why you're doing it is very important.
So maybe falling off the path helped you come back even stronger and more committed because you saw.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
we stumble and fall.
Right. And then you learn to walk. But
yeah.
I'm just curious, before all the trauma happened to you, what was there in your belief system, in the way all of us are brought up, that it doesn't prepare us? I mean, is there anything you could have done or anything that happened that in a way didn't prepare you for this, or maybe could have before all this?
Well, I think that whole notion of what I said, you know, yes, when we're young, we're taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but they don't have books. You know, I did an interview with someone, and I said, you know, there should be a Louise Hay textbook in every classroom.
Yes.
You know, on that self-talk, on that self-love, on that self-care. You know, we aren't taught about that. We aren't taught how to sit quietly with ourselves. And unfortunately, with the advancements in technology, that gets us further and further away from sitting quietly with ourselves. We're so plugged in and connected to our cell phones and our computers that we don't even give ourselves a chance to sit and really hear what our heart and soul have to say.
Right.
So I think for people to grasp the understanding that the way that you talk to yourself in your own mind, your self-talk, is a very powerful thing. And that self-talk can be very destructive to your physical body, or it can help keep you healthier. The mind and body are connected.
Right.
And so I think that that's an important component.
Right. And plus the fact there's so much fear in the media. Everywhere we look, it's generating, you know, all that bad news. And we're programmed to be fearful in our culture.
Yes.
And and that reinforces the negative self-talk. So when, and then something does happen, the reaction is even more traumatic because, like, you know, the fear kicks in, right? I mean.
Yes, 100%.
So I guess.
So, you know, one of the great things that meditation does is it helps you to be able to acknowledge and recognize when that destructive behavior or conversation is starting. You learn how to gently push it aside and quiet the mind through the breathing, quiet the mind through a mantra, you know, quiet the mind and sitting quietly, waiting, allowing those thoughts, that fear to pass.
Right.
I think is a huge thing that people could learn.
Right. And then, of course, being around people like Deepak. I like Deepak. He's a friend, and he's on his mission, and he comes from a very contented place, you know, very open. And I think seeking out, you know, as a teacher, as someone, as a sort of new role model, it helps, you know, because here's someone who's living in a different way, right?
Yes. Yep.
So
finding someone that inspires you.
Right, and then you went to the course, and the community of people help. So are you doing anything as far as gathering a community, or how can we all make that happen, a community of people who reinforce those parts?
Yeah, I think, I think certainly you doing what you do to reach a broad audience. In my own community, I teach classes, I teach workshops. I'm working to design an online course, certainly the book, but I think if we can each, touch either one person or a critical mass, we're setting that energy in a positive trajectory rather than, the collective negative that seems to be out there right now with the news.
Right. So I think a community is really important just to support each other. But of course, if we can't, then the book is a great resource for just giving people little keys. And that is Return to Life, because that is really what happened to you, isn't it? You weren't, would you say you weren't a living before in a sense?
No, I was very lost and alone.
Wow. And now, what's life like now for you? Just curious.
Oh, life is wonderful. I have met and really been able to connect with like-minded people who support and are on the path with one another. My physical body, my mental, emotional space is so much more in balance and blissful and peaceful. You know, I don't live in that fight or flight place anymore. I feel very contented and settled and wanting to help other people.
Wow. Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're putting out there, and, you know, the fact that it comes from your real life experience, I think, is so important to help other people. Your book, Return to Life, Finding Your Way Back to Balance and Bliss in a Stressed Out World. Is there anything we could do to make the world less stressed out? I mean, I guess the internal work, right?
Yeah, I think it's just being responsible for the energy that you show up with each and every day. You know, starting your day, another one of the tools is rise, shine, and meditate. Upon waking every morning, just even sit up in your bed and take 5 minutes to, sit quietly with your breathing. Do a breathing exercise. Think of the things that you're grateful for. You know, when you can start your day from that more balanced, positive mind space, you're carrying that energy with you. And you're giving that energy off to the people that you come in contact with all day long. So I think just being responsible for your own energy, and when you can find that place of balance with your own energy, then that's what you're going to give off to other people.
I mean, so it's great to be inspired to wake up and do that, but, you know, a lot of people just don't feel like doing that because they are depressed, and, you know, how do they, in a way, force themselves to do something that, on the level they're at, they don't want to do, you know?
Well, because if you feel bad enough, you'll want to try to find something that's going to give you some relief. And that's what happened to me. I hit rock bottom, and I felt so bad that I was willing to try anything and to be a good student. And again, you know, you don't have to start big. I'm not going to say start with 30 minutes. Start with 1 minute, start with 2 minutes, but just start. You know, no one can do the work for you. And I think that's why people just want to resort to medication and pills, because they don't want to have to put in the time or the work. They just want to take a pill and get on with their day. But that's not serving you in the long run. You know, learning these tools, practicing these tools, getting better at these tools, getting stronger, that's what's going to make the big life-changing difference. So, you know, if someone is very depressed, debilitated, paralyzed from it all, I get it. I had those days. But you have to start somewhere. And that's why I'm saying, figure out what it is, why you want to choose change. And maybe you want to choose change because you don't want to feel so bad that you can't get out of bed every day. That's a pretty good motivating factor.
Right.
So, you know, why do I want to get out of bed every day? I want to show up for a family member. I want to show up for a pet. I want to show up for my job. And so what do I need to do that? You know, get the book and find the tools that resonate for you, and start with baby steps. You know, start small, set yourself up to win, and then grow your practice from there. You'll start to feel better, and then you'll crave and want these practices.
Right. I think that's really good advice. Start small, and setting yourself up to win, I think, is really key. That's really good. Well, thank you, Pam, for being here on the show and sharing your experience. Is there anything else you want to leave people with?
No, I just want to give people hope that there are ways to lift that dark cover over you. There is light at the end of the tunnel, but you know, it does take time. You know, you don't get depressed overnight, so you won't get undepressed overnight. But know that you can do it, and know that you can take control of your health from the inside out. Just start small. And so head over to my website, returntolife.com. Buy the book, Return to Life, and you will get started on a wonderful journey.
Right. Even if you're not depressed, buy the book, because there's keys in there that can just help.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yes. And yeah, even if you're not depressed, buy the book, because you can help your own community. And even if you're not depressed, I would probably guarantee that somebody knows somebody that's depressed.
Right. But it just some of the practices you just said helps you with stress, because everybody has a level of stress. So just That is good.
Yeah. I mean,
the book is good for all sorts of things.
Well, and there's lots of tools in there that you can pass on to your children, to another family member, you know, someone else that may be struggling that you know. You know, there's always someone that we know that is suffering to some degree. And yes, you're right. Everybody has stress. Right. We are a stressed out nation.
Right. So every little bit helps. Just the breathing. Just start with that 16 breath, what'd you call it?
The sweet 16 breath. Yeah,
yes.
There's, and I have a number of breathing exercises in the book as well that really help.
Yeah, so I recommend the book too, just for anyone who wants to have a little more relaxation and joy and fun in their life. Thank you, Pam, for being here.
And, thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me. It was nice talking with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I think I'm very interested in people's stories of transformation because I think, well, for me it's inspiring, but I think people listening can see that it's not a fantasy if they want to change and that people, and that you can change. You know,
right.
I think your story is a great example of someone who did the work and is different. And, you know, we all want to be better. And it's possible. You're showing us that it's definitely possible. It's not a fantasy. And, you know, all the people that are on antidepressants, maybe they could be helped. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I had a friend who committed suicide.
Giving up is sinful.
I mean, I did have a friend who committed suicide a couple of years ago, and he said he was thinking about it. I said, no, you don't want to do that. So I didn't really take it seriously, but, you know, maybe I'm not saying I feel responsible, but I felt like, oh, maybe I could have said something that could have turned it around or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I had someone very close to me. Mm-hmm. Attempt to commit suicide. So I understand that. And
what did you do for them?
At that time I was still kind of in my own process of healing, but you know, what I was going to say was giving up is not an option. Wow. So rather than giving up and giving into the power that the depression can have over you, I just really suggest trying to take control and find other ways, take the medication, do the talk therapy, but then add layers, add these other practices that we've talked about here today, because they can really help supplement, a program that someone's on to help them with the depression.
Right. I mean, he had chronic, probably lifelong depression, and it would have been great to have given him your book to see, just as a tool to see if it could have helped. But so it's worth it for anyone listening who knows someone like that. Just give them this book as a tool, as a suggestion to help, because, you know, I think that's really the most important reason you wrote the book, is to help other people, to help them.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Thanks. So your website again is Return to Life.
ReturnToLife.com. That's my website, yeah.
And people can call you, make an appointment to Skype with you, or get a coaching from you. And they could buy... Yes. Is your book on Amazon, too?
Yes, the book is on Amazon.
Who's the publisher?
Hay House.
Oh, it's a Hay House book. Well, they're great. Okay, we'll talk again sometime, and maybe you'll come to New York and we could do something, too, okay?
I would love that, Alan. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Okay.
I'll just say goodbye. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thanks for listening today.
This program has been sponsored by Portal to Ascension, portaltoascension.com.
We're going to have the Portal to Ascension conference October 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2018, this year, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 days, epic presenters: Billy Carson, Alan Steinfeld, Robert Schock, Trisha McKinnon, John D'Souza, Ray Hernandez, Paula Harris, Teresa Yanaros, Justin DeChamps, Jordan Sather, and the list goes on. We have like another 10 to 12 other presenters, sound healers, musicians, right across the street from John Wayne Airport in Irvine, California. October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Portal to Ascension, we've been doing events for 10 years. This is going to be close to our 1,000th event production, the biggest event we've ever done, right in the heart of conservative Orange County, here to spread awareness and awaken the masses.
That was Neil Gore, the organizer of the Portal to Ascension conference coming up in Irvine. Portal to Ascension, portaltoascension.com. In October 5th, 6th, and 7th. And I thought, as a tribute to the Portal to Ascension conference and all the beautiful things that we'll be talking about there, like the evolution of consciousness, ETs, what it actually means to reach a higher state of consciousness, I thought I'd play this song I found by the Carpenters, which was a 1970s group, Richard Carpenter and Karen Carpenter, and this really heard song called
calling all interplanetary craft, which is very much in alignment with the higher consciousness of the ETs that we will be talking about at the upcoming conference. So listen to this beautiful song and tune in 2 weeks from tonight with some more amazing guests. This has been Alan Steinfeld for New Realities and the upcoming Portal to Ascension conference. The opening music was done by Alex McPhee, which was called Grasshopper Serenade, and the closing music now by The Carpenters, calling all interplanetary craft.
All Hit Radio.
All right, you're listening to All Hit Radio, and it's 53 degrees at 13 minutes past the hour. And right now in our All Request line, I've got Mike Ledgerwood on the phone. Hey, babe, what would you like to hear? Hey, babe, I'm sorry, I can't hear you too well. You're going to have to speak a little closer into the phone. Okay, babe, what would you like to hear again?
We are observing your Earth.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but that's not on our playlist. And by the way, you sound great over the phone. Anyway, if you give us your request, we'll be glad to play it for you, babe, so let's hear it.
We are observing your Earth.
Listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't...
And we'd like to make...
I'm sorry, Mike, we... There's...
A contact with you. Baby.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to say. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. You've been observing our Earth, and we'd like to make a contact with you.
We are your friends.
Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary ultra emissaries.
Won't you give us a sign
that we're
and transmit thought energy far beyond the norm. You close your eyes, you concentrate, together that's the way to send the message. We declare World Contact Day.